It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus. We're in the chapter 24 of that book. And so please that you open your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 24. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. We sure don't spend much time with announcements because the purpose of this program is to study God's precious Word. So please, open your Bibles now to Exodus chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading. And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord hath said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar unto the hill, under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he set young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, All that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. Under the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me unto the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, and thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode up on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to study your word once again. Oh, it's such a glorious, wonderful day to enjoy coming together with all these folks to study your word. And I just ask that you'll bless your word, that you'll touch every heart, that every individual that's listening will receive a blessing from you, dear Father. We know that the only blessings available is the blessings from you. There's nothing in this old world that we can buy or steal or covet in any way that is of any value, that will be any good to us. It must come from you. The blessings must be poured out from you for us to be blessed and to have peace and to have joy and excitement in our hearts and lives. We must know you as our Savior first before that can come. So please, that we trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And after reading your precious word, we're going to get into that sacrifice that you made, that your son Jesus made for us. And we're going to talk about that today. And so please, dear Father, as we continue with the study now, guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's just a wonderful study, this book of Exodus. I don't know if you've ever studied the book or not, but if you have not, you're in for a blessing. If you had, you're in for a blessing, because it's just blesses my heart every time that I go through this area and have the opportunity to read it for myself, for my own growth, or whether it's a study that I do for someone else to teach the word. It doesn't matter. It's such a blessing. And so let's look now. We have the promise, or the statement here, of the need to stay away from the gods of the land, that thou make no covenant with them. In other words, don't make any kind of agreement with them. God's saying, this is my land, and I'm giving it to you. And even though these people, let me list them for you, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, even though they are in the land, it doesn't matter, because it is not their land. They have used the land, they've got the blessings of the land, but it's not their land. And it's the same situation today. The people that are on God's property, whether it's right here in America, or whether it's in Jerusalem, wherever it might be, it is God's to have, it's God's to use, it's God's to give the blessings of it, or to give the land for someone to possess it. And the only people that God has given any land to is the nation of Israel. It is the only people. They are the only ones that have the right to claim the land that we look at as we, this past time we were together, the areas that we looked at. We're not going to take near so long today as we did last time, but I do want to just go through it quickly. You know, we're reaching all the way from the area of Beersheba up all the way into the southern part of Lebanon. And so you go all the way through the land of Israel. It even had come over a little bit into the land of Jordan, or the Golan Heights area that you hear so much about, up through Jerusalem, all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea. Go from the Gaza Strip and Beersheba, if you could look at those areas, come all the way up to the southern part of Lebanon. When you come up into the southern part, you'll come up to Tyre, which is still in place. And as you get to that, that's kind of the northern edge of the promised area that God was going to give these people. And then that was just the beginning. I will continue to give you land as you flourish and multiply. And so who knows if the nation of Israel would have been faithful, we're talking 3,500 years ago. If they would have been faithful to follow the word of God, oh, the land that they would have possessed, owned, because God would have given it to them. He did give them this section from Beersheba over to the Gaza Strip, if you go east and west at the southern border, and come all the way up along the Jordan River, Dead Sea, Jordan River, Sea of Galilee, Mediterranean Sea on the other side. We come all the way up, and then you come to the southern part of the country of Lebanon, up to Tyre. That is the original area where God gave the 12 tribes their land, and it is their land. Now, we know that the enemies of God is in that land today, and much of it. And we know that the nation of Israel is not believing in the true God today. They are following after their traditions. Most have ignored the Savior Jesus Christ. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus, you cannot know God the Father. So even though they speak of God the Father, they do not know Him. There will be a day that God will send a calling out. The nation of Israel has been set aside. They still own the land. They still possess that land. God has not allowed them to be there because of their disobedience. But we're right into that right now, and so of when God gave them that land. And so I don't want you to miss the areas that we're speaking of and also the blessings that God desired for this people. But he knew they had to run out the enemy, the ones that had been so-called renting the ground, using the ground, the same thing that we do here. We just rent the ground because God's the owner of it. I don't care how big a building you've built on it, and I don't care what kind of abstract that you hold and possess. God's the owner of it. The nation of Israel was given land. We have not been. We're just tenants upon it. We come down now and we see, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods, verse 32 of the previous chapter. Now verse 33, they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. It's what happens today. It's what happened in this land. The gods of the land, the worshipers of the creation have taken over. And we begin to worship those gods instead of the true God, our God, the living God that has saved us by his precious blood. And we need to, creator of the world, we need to worship him and praise him alone. And what happens is we get into a snare. We get into trouble if we do not worship the true God. And our land is in trouble. This country is in trouble. And it's in trouble because we have not worshiped, we have not praised, we've not bowed down to the true God. We find even folks that attend church today are coming to worship more the gods of this land than the true God. And you can tell by their type of worship. It's a country club style of worship. I will come as I am, I will come comfortable, I will come and I will listen, and just don't teach me any doctrines that's going to be contrary to my philosophy. We'll get along just fine. And so most of our churches, most of the religions of the day is a feel-good religion. It's a I will work my way to heaven religion, and that's a false religion. That's a religion of the Antichrist, the only true religion, the only way that we can please our God is to come, recognize our sin, confess our sin before a living God, and ask Jesus Christ to save us. Mean it in your heart, say it with your mouth, and you'll be saved. That's the conditions. That's the steps that God has set before us. This nation of Israel has many things placed before them, from the feasts that he's put into place for them to come to depend upon him, unto this promise that he's given now of this land that he's going to give. But he sets it with conditions. Verse 1, chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Now, we have looked at this Aaron and his sons and the 70 elders that are invited to join Moses in seeing the glory of God. And no one has seen God. If you would look upon God as in the flesh as we are, we would instantly die. And so it's upon his glory. They come with great reverence. They are not allowed to come right to the feet of the Lord Jesus. They are allowed only to come to a distance, to stay a distance away. And then as they do, they understand the holiness of God. We're on holy ground here, and we cannot come and stand side beside with God. You know, we cannot come and put our arms around God as a friend or a buddy. He is our friend. He is our Savior. He is our God. But we need to treat him with the greatest reverence, with the greatest respect. And so we need to do that when we come to worship him. We need to do that in our daily lives. It's not just one day a week or a couple times a week. And people today do not have time. They say they do not have time to come and worship God. They say they don't feel like coming and worship God, and yet you see them everywhere. They can do all the things they have to do in a week's time, but it comes Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. I'm too tired. I don't have time. That's very poor excuses. And God will not accept those excuses. So just be prepared to answer for your life, because God expects us to praise Him, to honor Him, and to worship Him. He expects us to come with a humble heart, with the greatest love that the old flesh can give. And it's a love that can come only through a rebirth, because we are born again. We've got a new heart. Then we can come and love God and lift Him up and praise Him, and only then. We can't do it from a fleshly side. It has to be from a spiritual side. And the only way that we can have a spiritual understanding of God, a spiritual direction from God, is when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll come when our sins, our heart is convicted of our sin, our life, and we come and surrender, accepting that free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. The respect that was held of this place where they were to meet God, they recognized the distance. They recognized again the sinful flesh and God's perfection. And they know that they must stay afar off. Moses is the only one that's going to be allowed to go before the presence of God. Moses, in many cases in our scripture, is a type of Christ. And Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the one that goes before God the Father for us. And the only way that He takes that role is, once again, if we trust by faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, upon coming by faith Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to convict us of sin and introduce us to the Lord Jesus, and then continue to introduce us, continue to show us the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Himself says, if you know Me, you'll know the Father. If you don't know Me, you'll not know the Father. And so it is so important. It is critical. It is a matter of life or death whether you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior or you don't. And so do not hang on to the works of your hands and the works of your flesh to get you to heaven. Don't depend upon those same works to please a holy, righteous God, because it can't. The debt had to be paid. The sin debt had to be paid, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so please today come to Him and know Him personally. Don't just know about Him. And it's so sad today, the multitudes of people that say they know Jesus, but they have never faced their sin. They have never recognized that they're a sinner and they're lost and they're dying in their sin. And I must have Jesus as my Savior today. That's not a common teaching. A common teaching is that Jesus died for you. He took your sin away. And by taking your sin away, that makes it a universal salvation. That's not taught in the Word of God. It may be taught in your church. That may be taught by your preacher, but is not in the Word of God. And so whose authority are you going to follow? Your church? I don't care how many years you've been there. If the message of salvation, the real message, accepting that you're a sinner, recognizing that, and the call to come to Jesus Christ, if that isn't done, and done often in every service, get out. Because Jesus Christ is not there. His words might be there, but salvation isn't. And if salvation isn't there, it's because the Holy Spirit is not present. It comes from His Word. And we're going to see here that Moses is allowed to come up. And again, he is a picture of Jesus Christ. He is a picture of our high priest and the Lord Jesus. We're going to get into it here very shortly, the tabernacle. Maybe if you've never studied that, why you don't realize that as they come into the gate, into the courtyard, the first thing that they run into is a brazen altar. The next thing is a brazen laver. Then you go into this tent affair, and it is 45 feet long and 15 foot wide. There's two rooms to it. The first room is 30 foot by 15 foot tall. There's a second room, And that second room is called the Holy of Holies, and that's 15 by 15 by 15. It's just a cube. In there is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. There is where the blood, each year on the Day of Atonement, where the blood was applied for salvation for the people. And that blood was applied by the high priest. And as Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, He took His blood, His precious blood, and people don't like to talk about the blood. They don't like to think about it. But if they don't think about the blood, and if the blood isn't applied to them, it is of no count. You're still in your sin. You're still dying in your trespasses, and you will die spiritually. You're dead spiritually, but you'll die eternally. Be dead eternally if you do not come by faith to Jesus Christ. Because you said Jesus 2,000 years ago took His precious blood and presented it at the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat in heaven before His Father. That's what saved us. He came out of that grave alive, yes. Resurrection, He must raise from the dead. He did. But if He had not presented the blood to His Father, there would be no salvation. And so you're going to see that as we look through this, the rest of this. But that's the picture this tabernacle is going to give us. And Moses is a picture, even though Aaron, his brother, was the high priest. Moses still is our representative here in the Scripture for the nation of Israel unto a holy God. And so he would fill that role as the high priest. And so we find now in verse 2, Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. They can't. They can't. We must know Jesus Christ before we can come before God the Father. And so here is a picture of that. Now we come to verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. Moses came and told the people. They were not just following this man blindly. They were told directly the words that God had told him. They were told them all. And Moses taught them precept upon precept, little bit upon little bit, until they had heard all of the truth, all of it. What a beautiful picture we have of God's precious word. It was not dependent upon a man to give us directions. God did it himself. And he spoke to this man, Moses, and Moses repeated them perfectly. And we're going to see something else here in just a little bit. And the people fully consented to that. They all agreed. It is too bad that they really didn't listen to what they were agreeing to, because we know that they would not have made the error, made the mistakes that they are about to make, if they would have listened to what Moses said. If they would have listened carefully to these words and been obedient to these words, we know that there would not have been the mistakes that they're about to make and begin to go back to worship the gods of Egypt. They haven't even got to the land of Canaan yet to start worshiping those gods, of which they will. But they are still worshiping the gods that they learned of the land of Egypt. And so we find that they didn't listen, and it's too bad that they didn't. How about us? Do we hear the word of God and respond and listen to it? These people were very, very bold about it. They answered with one voice, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. That was their response. And so as we look at this word, it's so sad. Now, number one, they can't because the demands are too great. We're sinners. We're lost in our sin. We need Jesus Christ as our Savior so we can please our holy God. But we should desire with all of our heart to do as much as we can, live that life that God demands and commands us to live. But we're much like that. We don't really listen. We come to hear a preacher preach. Do we listen? Do we leave saying, boy, wasn't much there? Well, my friend, I don't care how poor the preacher might have been. I don't care if you come here and listen to this poor preacher. It doesn't matter, because God's words where the power is. It's not my words. It's not my voice. It's not whether I'm a very charismatic preacher that you can sit and, boy, I really enjoy listening to him. It doesn't matter. I don't care whether you enjoy listening to me. What I care about, do you enjoy listening to the Word of God? And if you don't, that's still okay. Do you still listen? Because God will change your heart to where you'll have such a joy to listen to the Word of God. As a man, whether young or old, we need to be obedient to the Word of God. And they said, oh, yes, you know, we will do that. We will listen. And we will listen carefully and quickly. All the Lord said, we will do. Many consent to the law of God, to the Word of God, but they don't obey it. Nor will they be ruled by it. That's the sad condition of the church today. Even though they may even be born again, they still refuse to hear and to be ruled by the Word of God. They take it personally and say, well, that preacher's not going to tell me that. That preacher's not going to teach that and get away with it. Well, that's up to you. That's a decision you need. But if you want the blessings of God, you will listen. You will be obedient. God says here in this third verse, and by their response, he's saying, if you will, I will. If you will, I will give you everything. I'll give you health, I'll give you land, I'll give you the plenty of the land, the fruit of the land. I will give you everything. But if you don't, the deal's off. God gave him the land, even though it took 40 years for him to get there. God's word is true, and God will give them that land completely once again. It's still to come. But they sure could possess it today if they would have done what they said they were going to do. One voice, all in unity. All the words which the Lord has said, we will do. That's what they said. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, rose up early in the morning and built an altar upon the under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. This will be the last verse that we get to today. We look at this and we see that the words were not kept just for man's mind. Immediately, Moses wrote all these words down. They were penned by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Man's hand did it, but man's hand was guided by God as he wrote down those words. And that way, it was not left for the interpretation of man. God dictated it. There is no mistake. Moses recorded it. And God has called out this peculiar people, and he is leading them by his word. And that's what we need to listen to today. And I ask you, I don't know what scripture verse that you use, what scripture that you have today. I stay with the old King James, and you say, Larry, that's old-fashioned. There's stuff better than that out there. No, there isn't. Stay with it. Read it. He said, well, Larry, I have trouble reading it because it's just not that easy to read. It is the easiest to read when you're reading it, studying it, and seeking the Lord's will. If you want to read it like a novel, then go get some mystery novel and read it. Don't waste your time reading the Word of God if you just want to read it. It is God's living Word, and we need to come before Him with a right heart, seeking His Word. And when you do, this old King James will be just fine for you. It'll be just fine. And so I ask you to look at not only how you come to church, as we addressed that last time. I want you to look at how you come before God and His Word. Are you looking for something easy, something simple? No. We need to come before a living God. He's holy. He's just. bow down before Him, call upon Him, enjoy His precious Word. He will teach you His way and will, and it'll make the most change in your life that you just can't imagine. Please, seek the will of God today. Look to Him. Jesus Christ offered up Himself for us. Please trust in Jesus today for salvation, that that precious blood covers you. Please. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?